Okay, before starting in our worksheet, this is going to be one of the primary focuses of this first year of confirmation. And it's try to establish a really good friendship with Jesus Christ. So that's where we're heading. To really try to get to know Jesus better. Have Jesus in your mind, have Jesus as your best friend. Learn how to talk to Jesus. So at the end of each class, you're going to be just returning your binders to my helpers here, Lauren and Indai. We're going to be going in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and for a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to Jesus. Okay? So that's one of our primary focuses, is really to get to know who Christ is. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why, is any good catechism has four pillars. The dogmatic part, the moral part, the sacramental part, the part on prayer. The dogmatic means you have to know the creed. We pray in the Mass. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. You have to know, you know, who God is. No? And you have to know the commandments too. Because Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Alright? To be able to live the commandments, you have to have God's grace. Grace comes through the sacraments. But being able to put the commandments into practice, we want to go beyond what is called mere legalism. Mere legalism means laws. I know about you, I could never fall in love with laws, but with a person I can. Falling in love with laws, I think that's pretty hard. It's pretty cold. But falling in love with a person, especially the person who is so great like Jesus Christ, should be pretty easy. So if you do fall in love with Christ as your best friend, then you're going to put the commandments into practice. And I think for many years, maybe the first focus has been on the commandments, which are important. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. However, you're going to be able to put the commandments into practice because you love Christ. And you don't want to break the commandments because you don't want to damage your friendship with Christ. Got that? It's a different focus. And me and Father Larry, we've been here for many, many years, working with many confirmation students. And over the past couple of years, been trying to think, how can we help our young people to really fall in love with Christ? You're going to be seeing constantly in this workbook, because basically this new confirmation book, I'm the one that wrote it. So it took many hours for me to write this. And I try to, when I'm writing it, I'm trying to imagine I'm talking to teenagers, no? Because some of the catechism books we have, they're just too up here, no? Too theological, too abstract. I mean, theologically they're correct, but they're up here. So I try to write this in a very simple way, so that you'll be able to understand it, and I think there's a certain amount of depth to it. Okay. Having said that, when I was your age, ages ago, one of my greatest desires and joys was that I really like my friends. I meet young people today that don't have friends. I almost feel like crying. No, I've always had good friends. I tend to be a friendly person. I guess like attracts like, right? But I always had a good group of friends. Maybe three really good friends. And very good friend they had, and this may shock you, but my best friend was my older brother. You know, that is very, very rare, no? I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that my best friend is my older brother or sister, but in my case, he was my best friend. Now, he's a back surgeon, I'm a soul surgeon, so we're both working in healing, body and soul. Now, what are the characteristics of a friendship?
Trust.
Good. Good. Good quality is trust. That's what Aristotle says. You ever hear of Aristotle? A great philosopher says friendship is based on commonality of interest. That's the definition that Aristotle gives. I think that's okay, but don't forget we're Catholics. I would give a closing clause to that. Lauren?
Loyalty.
Loyalty, okay. But you know, everything you said, this is going to shock you. Cholos all have what you said. No? Know what a cholo is? Any of you? Cholos, they're loyal, right? And they are. Gang members can be pretty darn loyal. If they're not loyal, the head leader is going to blow your head off. Sorry, I'm so blunt, no? So I really believe that a true friendship, Christian friendship, has to be common interests, but your friend has to bring you closer to God. And if you eliminate that part of the equation, I think your friendship is going to be faulty. But if you have a friend that's going to help you to become a better follower of Christ, that's a true friend. And I'll just give you an example of one. Some of you have heard of this. I gave the book to Lauren's little brother about a year ago. Dominic Savio. Have you heard of St. Dominic Savio, any of you? Dominic Savio, he died when he was only 14 years and 11 months, so he's a little bit older than you, but not too much. And he would establish friendships, but they're always based on how we can get closer to God. You know what he said to one of his best friends was Miguel Magone. He said that, if you ever see me doing something wrong, you correct me. It takes a lot of humility, huh? Would you ever tell your older sister or brother, someone, when you see me make a mistake, you come and you correct me? And that demands a lot of interior strength and a lot of humility. But also friends want to spend time together, right? Friend wants to spend time together. Now let's try to relate that to what we're talking about with Christ. We want to aim at a point where you want to spend some time with Jesus every day. You know what we call that? We call that prayer. I've said this in various classes, is that myself being a teacher, I can teach you how to pray. I can. You mention a certain saint, Francis Sales or Ignatius or Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, I could go into different schools of prayer and I could teach you biblical prayer. I could almost go on nonstop. I mean, I'm a nonstop speaker if you want me to. But, you know, I could teach you how to pray, but I cannot give you the desire to pray. That I can't give you. Sorry. And I think one of the greatest graces I've ever had is that as a child and as a teenager, I always liked to pray. I know that that's very rare. I just like to pray. When I was 14, I'd walk two miles to school, and I'd pray two rosaries when I was walking to school. So I thought, well, I've got to walk. Might as well do something. So I learned how to pray the rosary when I was a little kid. I would just pull out my fingers, and when I was walking to school, I would pray one rosary, then another rosary. And it just felt good. If you've ever had a really good prayer experience, afterward you feel good. Have you ever tried to really pray? Maybe a good period of prayer and you feel, wow, I feel really good now. And that feeling, that interior peace, comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, is God. So that's what we're going to be aiming at in learning the catechism is a jumping board or a catalyst that's going to bring us to this friendship with Christ. Now, no matter what you have done or what you can do, Jesus always wants to be your friend. But it's different from other friendships. Say, for example, you hurt your friend says, well, that's the way, if you did that to me, see you later, alligator. It's over. Whereas with Jesus, it's not that way. Like if you hurt him, you got to say, I'm sorry. But he'll always forgive you. And he forgives quickly. Bible says that God is slow to anger and rich in kindness. We're usually quick to anger and slow to forgiveness. It's called original sin. We're quick to get angry. And we're slow to forgive. Or God is the other way around. God is quick to forgive and very slow to anger. And we want to try to imitate that. We want to try to imitate that. So that being the case, we're going to have our first lesson now, and then we'll be ending by passing your books to the side at the end. Then we're going to go out, we're going to visit the Blessed Sacrament for a couple of minutes, and that will be our first class. Okay, the very top of the page, maybe some of you have heard of Michelangelo. That's on the top of the Sistine Chapel in Rome. If you've ever been to Rome, you see God is that's part of the element of creation. God bringing man to existence. Okay, so it's going to the fill-ins are pretty simple. Content, I think, is very good. We're going to be learning a lot. And this is the first question. If you ask people, what does the Catholic Church stand for, how would they answer? You to walk into a coffee shop and randomly ask people, what does the Catholic Church stand for? What kind of responses do you think you would receive? Some people might talk about the rituals of the Catholic faith. Know what that is? Yeah. For example, Ash Wednesday, ashes, candles, holy water, statues, maybe processions, an altar server, maybe you have the incense, okay, the incense that we have in Mass. These are Catholic rituals, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. Others might mention the Pope. Don't even know the name of the Pope, the present Pope. Let's see how far you can go back. Who was the Pope before Pope Francis? You can go back 3.5 years, huh? Pope Benedict, how many, what number though? You know? 16. Who's the Pope before him? One of the greatest popes in the history of the Church. He was Pope for more than 26 years. John Paul the second, yeah. Anyone know who was the Pope before him? John Paul the first. He was a Pope for about a month. He died suddenly. Pope before him? Okay, I'm going to give you a mnemonic device. Okay, John Paul II chose two names of the two popes before him. So, guess who it would be? John Paul would be Paul the Sixth. And who was the pope before him? He was canonized with John Paul II about 3 years ago. John the 23rd. And then who before him? Pius the what? 12th. And he was a pope when I was a little baby. And he was in the 40s all the way up until 1959, yeah. Pius the 12th. You know how many popes we've had altogether? Nope, close. Do you know? What? 266. Yeah. So quite a few. Who was the first pope? Pope Peter, St. Peter, yeah. So someone might ask you, what's a Catholic? The Catholic has the pope, which is fine. Okay, now other things. A large number probably would focus on controversial. What does that word mean? Controversial. Not exactly. Yeah. Different conflicting opinions. There's going to probably be a disagreement. Okay. Controversial moral issues of our day. The Catholic Church is against abortion. We've all heard of that, right? Against contraception, and also against gay marriage. You go to school, you bring that up, all hell breaks loose, right? Yeah, it's a hot issue, right? But you have to have great clarity as to what the Church teaches on that. And I think a lot of you, if you're well-formed, some of your companions in school, you can convince them that gay marriage is not right. A lot of them are just confused because what the TV says, the mass media says, the parades. They're just confused because they've been brainwashed by what the TV says. Give them arguments as to why that's wrong. I really believe this is going to be a class of apologetics where you're going to be able to defend your faith. Yeah? Defend your faith in a kind way, clear way, an intelligent way, but defend your faith. You can do it, and you will do it. We should have a real passion for Christ, no? I'm not going to get into politics, but, you know, you talk about politics, people really have really strong opinions, right? Or even if you're involved in sports, man, you talk about a certain sports team, and the person goes crazy if you talk against his team, no? We should have even more passion for Christ, right? Okay, number two. What does the Catholic Church stand for? It is true the Catholic Church does stand for the above. But above all, the Church makes present Christ and His love for each one of us. Catholic Church stands for the God who is madly in love with you. How can you tell someone loves you? I think I have a different definition you have. Is mushy, sentimental, Hollywood romantic? I don't know if that's real love. That may just be fluff, cotton candy, huh? What are you going to say?
I'm going to show it.
Okay, good. I think you're right. Can you be more concrete about that? Yeah.
Forgiveness.
Great. Being merciful, that's a great one.
Other actions.
Good. Frida? Yeah, but I'm going to say something that, okay, I'll say it this way. Person shows he loves you when he's willing to suffer for you. Do you agree with that? Everything you said is fine, but I'm going to add something to that. You know, as teenagers, you probably have you have disagreements with your mom. Sometimes, probably. Maybe you feel that she doesn't understand you, no, you're a teenager, maybe she's brought up in a different culture. No? I think all of you know that your mom has a great love for you. Even though maybe you don't want to admit it at times. No? My mom is still living. My mom's 86 years old. She's getting up there, no? And I know that my mom loves me because she suffered a lot. She was having 9 kids and bringing us up. My mom and dad would have 4 teenagers at the same time. And maybe they had 3, but having 4 teenagers at the same time, you know, they went back to back to back. No? That's not easy. No? Now, let's take it one more step. How did Jesus show he loved you?
He died on the cross.
Yeah. That's what moves me most. Because dying on the cross and suffering so much, no, he did it for me. He did it for all of you, too. That is the most evident proof of his love for me. And if he loves me so much that he's willing to suffer that for me, well, I'm willing to try to carry my cross, even though the cross is sometimes pretty heavy. To know that he loves me so much. So love is measured by the willingness to suffer for the loved one. No greater love than to give one's life, as Jesus did on the cross. See, what I'm trying to do in this class is connect you with the fact that Jesus is alive. Not simply some historical, mythical, abstract figure that lived 2,000 years ago, but he's alive now. Every time you pray, he's before you, even though he's invisible. Did you know that the invisible is just as real as the visible? And this is real. Your thoughts are invisible, right? But do your thoughts exist? Of course. Your soul is invisible, but it exists. God is invisible, but God exists. What is that virtue called? It's called faith. Faith is believing without seeing. You don't see the face of God, but you know that he exists. So every time you start to pray, you're exercising the virtue of faith. And that friendship with Christ grows more and more the more you make a concerted effort to talk to him from your heart. You can tell him whatever you want. He never gets bored. You might know someone that's a non-stop speaker. He starts to talk, oh boy. You're on the phone, oh boy. But Jesus never gets tired. He's the best speaker, but he's also the best listener in the world. He's a great listener. Okay. Who is madly in love with you, who has a plan for you and wants you to be happy. The God who even sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, who wants to forgive you and help you in your life, and who most of all wants an intimate, personal relationship with you so you can be with him forever In heaven. You ever think about heaven? You know, I was your age. I had kind of a false concept. I wanted to go to heaven. I was thinking, oh, these old 85-year guys with a beard sitting there with a harp. I said, how boring. And I said, I want to play baseball. If there's no baseball in heaven, oh boy. There he is, a long, long white beard, touching the harp. And there we go. Oh. That's not the way it is, okay? Pope Benedict XVI, in one of his documents, says that eternity is launching oneself into the infinite abyss of God's love. Now, eternity, launching oneself into the infinite abyss or ocean of God's love. So not going to be boring. The old gray-haired guys with a beard. Not going to be that way. Who is this God who is madly in love with you? He is creator of heaven and earth, one divine being and three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we believe in three gods in one person? We believe in three gods in one person, right? No? Oh, okay. I said it backwards, right? Good. Let's see if you're able to pick up that error. Okay, so it's three persons and one God, right? Who created you? It was God who is creator, who created me and brought me into existence. God also maintains my life in existence. St. Paul preached, quoting the poet. This is one of my favorite poetic expressions in the New Testament. In him we live and move and have our being. I love that. In him we live, we move, we have our being. That comes from God. Okay, where was I before my creation? Think about 18 years ago. Where were you? Didn't even exist, huh? You were in the mind of God, but you did not exist physically yet. That's an incredible thought. Where was I before my creation? This is a good and important question. Where was I before creation? The response is that before my creation, I did not even exist. Did not even exist. This is a very humbling thought. Now, when we look out in the created world, sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, fish, animals. What do you think of all creation, if you've ever read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that are the creation accounts, what do you think is the crown of creation? The apex, the high point of creation. Right? So, man and woman, that's the high point of creation. And as Thomas Aquinas says, everything in creation, you are more important than everything in the created world. That's how important your soul is. Because you're going to live forever. Whereas a plant, a cat, or dog, okay, there's life there, but after they die, that's it. You might want to be in heaven with your pet parakeet Pete. That's his name. Once he dies, that's it. So we want to get to heaven. That's why we're here. We want to get to heaven. Number 6, why did God create me? God created me out of pure love, and nothing more out of pure love, because He loves me totally and always. Stop and thank God for loving me into existence. Okay, now what is my purpose in life? Let me mention a false purpose in life. Did you ever hear the word materialism? What does materialism mean? Do you have something to say?
Loving things that are material and not from God.
Okay, so maybe you love them, but you put the material things here and the spiritual things below, right? Yeah. Placing a priority on the material realm. Do you think there are people in this country that are materialistic? A lot of people, right? They focus on having money and buying things and having big cars and big houses. Not to say that that's wrong, but if that's the end purpose of your life, there's something wrong. Something wrong with that. Okay, here we have it. This is the purpose of your life. I am here to... Good, but I put another word. You're putting it out of order. You can't serve if you don't... Yeah.
No.
That's good, but I put something even before that. You're going here, but we have to start up here. Well, I want to say it's going to be so odd. I'm here to know God, right? Because you really can't love God if you don't know Him, right? Knowledge comes first. I'm here to know God, to love God, and then to serve God. You're here to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life. So to be happy with Him forever in eternity. Jesus also said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? So going back to that, do you think everyone in the world wants to be happy? Well, there are some people you think that maybe they get out of bed on Friday, I want to be sad today. I think that only a crazy person is going to do that. You ever meet anyone that was sad? Maybe at school, huh? Maybe a relative. Now, why is it? Let's follow this philosophy. Everyone wants to be happy. Why do you have so many sad people? Okay, a loss, okay. Great, all good responses over here. Yeah. What Lauren said is what I'm going to say. The other good responses also is that they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. You look for happiness in the wrong place, which is not loving God, you're going to fall short. Did you know that you can buy pleasure, but you can't buy happiness? There's a difference, right? You can buy pleasure. Pizza and beer, huh? Baskin Robbins, huh? You can buy pleasure, but you can't buy happiness. The happiness comes from the Holy Spirit, comes from God. And this goes against the grain. If you're only seeking yourself, what you can get out of circumstances, Maybe there's some pleasure in that, but afterward you feel hollow and empty. But when you find yourself giving to God and giving to others, even though it hurts, giving, afterward there's peace and joy. Try it. Yeah. And if you're giving of yourself, even though it might hurt a little bit, there's real peace and joy when we're learning to give. We're learning to give. Mother Teresa says, give until it hurts. Give until it hurts. Number 9. How can we recall... Oh, we skipped number 8. How do we know there is but one God and three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? One of the greatest mysteries of our Catholic faith is the most blessed Trinity. We believe that there is only one God, but three separate and distinct persons. God revealed this mystery to us. Jesus, who is the Son of God, made man. Jesus, the Son of God, made man, revealed this to us. Number 9. How can we recall often the presence of the Trinity? Two special ways. First, by making the sign of the cross with great reverence, saying the words, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Second, by praying reverently the Glory Be. Let us pray now with great reverence, respect, and love. Okay, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Do you make the sign of the cross often? Do you? When do you make the sign of the cross?
In the morning.
In the morning, upon getting up, and any other time? Before meals, any other time?
When you walk into church.
Walk in the church, any other time? Before you go to sleep, yeah.
Beginning of Mass.
Beginning of Mass. Also, you know, if you're tempted, we're all tempted by the devil. When the devil tempts you, make the sign of the cross, that's powerful. It's even more powerful if you make the sign of the cross with holy water. If you make the sign of the cross using holy water, you know, the devil is afraid of holy water. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Teresa of Avila says the devil is just, he's petrified when you start to use holy water. And when there are exorcisms, that's not going to be the topic of this class, when there is an exorcism, the priest actually uses holy water to try to exorcise the possessed person. Do you have holy water in your house? You'll have a holy water bottle in your room? You should all try to get a holy water bottle and have it in your room. You know, also there's the holy water, what do you call that, indi, the little fount, you know, that we have in the church. You can go and buy just a little one, a little shell, and you can put it in your room so that when you leave your room, you can make the sign of the cross with holy water. You know how we make holy water? Did you know in the sacristy there's a faucet that becomes holy water out of it? Did you know that? I'm joking. No. The holy water becomes holy when we bless it. So there's not a holy water faucet, no? We bless it and then it becomes holy. So you can bring a couple of gallons and I can bless it, and that's going to be good for 6 months, huh? Well, all of you should have holy water bottle in your room, and before you go to bed, bless, make the sign of the cross, bless you. Able to sleep well, have nightmares, good way to overcome nightmares, huh? Yes.
Also, in our backpack, when you go to school, you can have our holy bottle.
Yeah. Good idea. Yeah. And the students seem to be possessed. No, don't do that. You're in trouble with the principal, right?
Isn't there a holy water fountain in Negrotto?
You know, in Lourdes, France, that that's a very special water. If any of you ever heard of Lourdes, France, where maybe saw the movie of Saint Bernadette when she was digging and the water came out, and already about 150 years have passed and still people take that water. They actually bathe in it, and there are a lot of miraculous cures. Actually, my confessional, someone went to Lourdes and gave me a some holy water from Lourdes, yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, but you see the grotto, and she lived in the cachot, which was an old prison. Yeah, yeah. Did you go into, see how big the candles were? Some of the candles are about enormous, right? Almost. Next. Does God want us to be happy?
Yes.
Okay, how can we be happy? We can be happy if we open our hearts to God and let His love dwell in our hearts. Man cannot live without love. His life is senseless if love is not revealed to him, if he does not encounter love, if he does not experience it and make it his own, if he does not participate intimately in it. John Paul II, Redentor Hominis. What type of love is this? It is the love that comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Any of you know what that Romans thing is? What does that mean? That Romans and those two numbers? What would it be, Therese? Okay, so it's letter of Paul to Romans, chapter would be 5, verse would be 5. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is not the love you see in telenovelas. You know what a telenovela is? You call that a soap opera, right? That love is sinful and trash. Sinful and trash, no? You know, there are a lot of people that are addicted to telenovelas. They have to see it every day at a certain time. It ends, and they're waiting another 24. What's going to happen next? If they don't see it, they get angry, no? It's called an addiction. You can become addicted to anything. So, does God have a plan for me? Yes. You are a thought of God. You are a heartbeat of God. You are a thought of God. You are a heartbeat of God. God created you out of love. How can I get to know God? Study. During this course, you will learn about Christ, who is the Son of God. Son of God made man. And he will teach you about God and his love. Prayer. Mass and communion are very important because in them Christ comes to dwell in you. Confession is very important because God forgives your sins because He loves you and you know they are forgiven. Reading Scripture will teach you how to do this. By the way, do all of you have a Bible? Do you all have your own Bible? You should all have your own Bible. It's not a bad idea to read a little bit of the Bible every night. Even 3 or 4 minutes. Starting with the Gospels. We get to know who Christ is. Read a little bit of the Gospel, 5 minutes every night, get to know Christ. But allow that reading to be transformed into talking with Christ. And prayer. Prayer is talking to Christ as a friend. All right. We're going to be ending by praying together these Fatima prayers, which are very beautiful prayers. That's a picture of Our Lady Fatima with the rosary. So pardon prayer, let's say it together. My God, I believe. The angel's prayer together. O most holy Trinity.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I offer you this precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, as in the most
And finally, the Eucharistic prayer. Most Holy Trinity, I adore you, my God, I love you in the most blessed sight. Lauren, have you done the attendance already? Okay, good. Great, so what we're going to do is we're going to pass over the books, then we're going to make a 3-minute visit to the Blessed Sacrament. We'll make a genuflection, then we're going to move into rows there and spend about 2 minutes, and then after that you'll make your genuflection. You can go with your parents, okay? So if you can pass over the binders, you make sure that you wrote your name in it, because on the top of the paper, your name, yes.